Well, we are delighted to have with us in the pulpit this time our good brother, Mr. Daniel Hamilton. As you know, that a few weeks ago, Daniel was ordained here in the church as a newly elected elder. He's already attended his first session meeting, and he's also had his first taste of our presbytery meeting, albeit we hope it's not a token for things to come, because I think it was a very extended and a very late presbytery meeting, and sometimes first impressions last. And we trust that God will richly bless Daniel, his wife Lindsay, as they serve here in the congregation. And during that ordination service, Daniel did give a brief word of testimony, and we indicated that we would have him along some Sunday evening to give a full testimony. Well, tonight he's consented to do that. We're going to ask him to come now and share with us what the Lord has done for his soul.
Good evening, folks. It's lovely to see you all again. If you could turn to Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3. I don't want you thinking that presbytery went on a long time because I was there. I can assure you that was not the case. I sat down and didn't say anything, which is good. But no, it was a very blessed experience. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a privilege to testify tonight before my own congregation, and you've heard a shortened version of my testimony, so please bear with me. I will expand it out a wee bit, and I just trust you'll bear with me as you do that. And sorry, apologies for the repetition for those who have heard this before. Thanks to Reverend Martin for inviting me along to speak tonight. I got to know the Reverend and Mrs. Martin many a year ago when they were known to me as Tom and June. That was a long time ago. At that time I was seeking a wife in the land of Lurgan, and that's how I came across the Reverend Martin and June at that time. In fact, Lindsay and I attended the ordination of the Reverend Martin in the old church in Lisburn, but we were only children then, so that was a very long time ago. But this is a very popular verse, Proverbs. These two verses are well known. They're very popular verses, but they've always meant an awful lot to me. It's really a very blessed thing. One of the things I love about Scripture are the conditional and unconditional promises of God. So an unconditional promise of God is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, which is a beautiful promise from God. But a conditional promise of God is what we have here in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Because it tells us, gives us an instruction to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You can break that down by saying, trust God, do not trust yourself, and God will direct your paths. And that's as simple as that is. You trust God, you don't trust yourself, and God leads you and guides you in your life day by day. And that's been my experience, and that's certainly what that verse says to me. It says an awful lot more, but to me that's why this is such a blessed verse to my heart. The dictionary definition of testifying is really to serve as evidence or proof of an event. And I'm thankful to stand here tonight as evidence of God's power and grace in my life, of God's love for sinful mankind, and proof of the sin power cleansing of the blood of Christ and what he can do for an individual. It's a great thing to be saved. It's the best thing to be saved. And I'm so thankful to stand here tonight and to be able to speak about that. I was born into a Christian home. My mum was saved as a child in Glenarm, where she grew up. And when my parents met, my father wasn't saved at that point. My granny McCloy, who I didn't really know very well, I could just about remember her, but she died whenever I was very young. But she was a very godly woman, and she was very sure that my father would get saved in the Lord's time. My grandfather, her husband, passed away whenever my mother was very, very young. And so really my granny McCloy looked after that household, and she gave the permission for my father to marry my mother, even though he wasn't saved. But my granny McCloy was very sure that my father was very close to getting saved. So mum and dad got married and went to live in Oma. And shortly after that, they attended Oma Free Presbyterian Church. And my father was saved at those meetings. And he was converted by a young fella by the name of Ken Elliott. He was a student minister of Oma Free Presbyterian Church, who sadly passed away earlier this year. Reverend Elliott's always been a very good friend of our family. We've always thought very highly of him. And I know certainly in our family he's held in very high esteem. I grew up in Gilnahirk, which is in East Belfast. If you want to know where Gilnahirk is, it's just beyond Cherry Valley, as they say. But it's much higher than Cherry Valley. It's a much nicer place to live, even than Cherry Valley. But it was a lovely place to grow up, and it was a beautiful place, and with a lot of happy memories. Our mum and dad still live in that part of Belfast. I was taken to Sandown Road Presbyterian Church as a child. Mum and dad had moved from Oma to Belfast, and I was born then a short time later. But mum and dad attended that church, and that's where I have all my earliest memories of church, were of the work in Sandown, and of the blessing of being there, going along to the Sunday school, and going along to the Tuesday night children's meetings, and going to the services both morning and evening where possible. Mum and Dad certainly got us out to all of those meetings, and that was always a great blessing. So Sundays were always associated with going to church, and then during the week there was children's meetings and so on. So our lives were very much focused around the house of God, and we grew up in a very godly home, and Mum and Dad really took every opportunity to ensure that Brother Robin and I were taught the truth of salvation. Mum and Dad drove past a lot of churches to get to Sandown. They could have gone to any number of churches in East Belfast, but I can assure you that all those churches that Mum and Dad drove past, I would not have heard about my need of salvation. And still to this day, those churches don't proclaim the truth of God's word. Sandown does stand out in that area as being one of the only evangelical churches. So it's a great blessing that Mum and Dad had the foresight and were led of God to go to that place. But it was a great blessing to grow up in that church. I was saved in 1983 at the age of 9 at a Tuesday night children's meeting. I had a terrible fear of being separated from my mum and dad and my brother. I knew they were all saved. I knew what that meant at the age of 9. And I knew that if I died, that I would be separated from my family. I wouldn't go to heaven. I knew that for a certainty. I knew that attending church wasn't enough for me. I knew that going to church wasn't going to lead me to salvation. I knew that my parents and my brother's salvation was not my salvation, that I needed a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be saved, you need to enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew that that would be mine. If I accepted the free offer of salvation through the Lord's shed blood and upon his death and resurrection, I knew it would be saved. I knew that as a child. And that wasn't, it's not a complicated message. It's a very simple message. And that's why 90% of the world's Christians are saved before they reach their teenage years. And that's a startling statistic to think about the importance of children's work and how vital it is. If you take a row of 10 people who are born again Christians and ask them when they got saved, and 9 out of 10 of them are going to tell you they were saved when they were children. And that is a remarkable thing. And if you are, if you're beyond childhood now, there's still hope for you. Don't think there isn't. But it's a very high percentage of believers are saved when they're children. It shows you the importance of children's work and the importance of child evangelism and the importance of reaching children with the gospel message. So I grew up in around Belfast. At primary school, there was never any challenges. It was always a very happy environment. The only thing I remember was being asked why I didn't watch TV on a Sunday, and that was about the height of that. But secondary school was much harder. It was a lot harder, a lot more difficulty there. And I remember distinctly failing the Lord in secondary school and not taking my stand. And I say that to my shame, but very thankfully, as much as I drifted away from the Lord, I didn't drift into the world, and I'm very thankful for that. It's been 28 years since I was at school, which is a long time. So I really feel that teenage believers or young people, they need a lot of prayer, because school in my day was grim. There was drink, there was drugs, there was alcohol and smoking. It was difficult in my day and generation, so I do fear for a generation coming up and what they face in school from day to day. They need much prayer, they need much support. But I got that support in Sandown Road Free Presbyterian Church in the Youth Fellowship. I started attending the Youth Fellowship when I was 13, and the friends I made there and the consistent message taught to me and displayed by the youth leaders really kept me in the straight path. I wasn't walking with God, but what I learned and what I was taught in the Youth Fellowship kept me from drifting into the world, and that was so important. Derek and Gillian Graham looked after the Youth Fellowship, as did Paul and Celia Roberts in Sandown, and they were a great blessing. They're still friends to this day. still a great encouragement to me in that day. And the Christian and the friends I made in Sandown, I still have today. And that is such a blessing and such an encouragement to me. There was many other places I could have been. Living in Belfast, you have access to a lot of different places you could go to, a lot of things you could have done at weekends or weeknights, and lots of offers of things to do. But I'm very glad that my weekends were full of going to the youth fellowship and going away with Christian friends and doing things with Christian believers. And that was so important. So my advice to young people growing up today is ensure your friends are Christians. Don't make friends of the world. Yes, it's good to witness to your friends in school. It's good to have a testimony of that. But don't make those people your closest friends. Make believers your closest friends, because these are the people who will stand you in good stead your whole life and will keep you. Even if you're drifting away from the Lord, your Christian friends will stop you going into the world. And that was my own experience, certainly, whenever that was the case. I came back to the Lord at around the age 18. I remember going to a mission in the Martyrs Memorial, held by Maren Giler, who was an American evangelist, a very gifted individual. And I can remember very clearly going there with my father and being very challenged about the state of my life and how I had drifted away from God so much. So I came back to the Lord that night, and it was a great blessing to me. That was on a Friday night. And I remember praying whenever I left that meeting that the Lord would get me involved in Christian work in some way. I wasn't involved in anything. I just attended youth fellowship. They didn't help out at anything. So I really prayed the Lord would show me something to do. So on the Sunday morning, I went to my first prayer meeting before the services. I'd never been to one before. So I went to that prayer meeting, and I was sitting beside a Sunday school superintendent, Tom Patterson. And he just said to me, "Daniel, good to see you at the prayer meeting. Would you like to take a Sunday school class next Sunday?" So I sort of thought this was a bit much, but I decided I would take him up on that offer. I hadn't a notion what I was going to teach these children. They were P2. They probably knew more about the Bible than I did. But I took that class, and I never regretted it. It was a great blessing to do that. It wasn't a big Sunday school in Sandown at that stage. I remember all of the six or seven classes that I taught over those years. And it was a great blessing. It makes you feel very old. I think I saw Rachel Crawford, who's Rachel McCauley, who's been out in the mission field. She was one of the first ones in my Sunday school class. So always a very chilling thing to see somebody growing up like that you taught in Sunday school. But it's a great blessing to do that as well. I joined the outreach team as well about a year or two later in Sandown, the door-to-door outreach work, which was really good. It was run by a man called Nevin Porter. Nevin Porter sadly took leukemia about 8 years ago and passed away. But he was a tremendous outreach leader. What made Nevin so remarkable was that it was very difficult. Door-to-door work around Sandown was quite hard. People in the area were very appreciative of all the work that Reverend McElveen had done in East Belfast, but they never really came out. The congregation wasn't drawn from the immediate area in Sandown. People came from more far and wide. So whenever you knocked the doors, you got a warm welcome, but nobody ever really would have come out. But Nevin Porter always encouraged us that no matter how many days or weeks you go by without winning a soul for the Lord or really reaching anybody, just remember that the outreach leader in Sandown was saved on the door-to-door work. Nevin had been saved by folks who came out and witnessed to him on the door, and he got saved on the door. And it always a great encouragement to me in the outreach, when no matter how bad things got, I always thought about Nevin, because he led that work for 15 years and he was saved on the door-to-door work himself. And that was a great blessing and a great encouragement for us in that work. So that was a great blessing. So at that time in my life, in my late teens, I wanted to learn more about the Lord. I wanted to get out to more meetings, but also wanted to find a woman. That was very important as well. So I went to lots of meetings with that twofold purpose. Let's learn more about the Bible, but let's see who else is out there. And that was very important. So my brother Robin was 7 years older than me. He was driving, so that was great. And he would have brought myself and my friends Richard and John McVeigh to all these various meetings. And one of the ones we never missed would have been the Guildford Flame Youth Rally on a Saturday night in Guildford. 8 p.m. and you would have gone along and you would have really enjoyed the times there. It was run by the Reverend David Sinton, who was he had a real vision for young people at that time. Got us involved in outreach and all sorts of things. And it was a really good time. I remember making so many friends today. People I still see around the Free Church, and I would have met them in the Guildford youth rally, and that was a really blessed time. I met Lindsay at that rally, She was sitting in front of me at that particular meeting. I remember it very, very well. She had lovely curly hair, and I remember that very, very clearly. And I was chatting to her friend, Rachel Crane, who's Rachel Hudson now. And she had, I think the three of us had all interviewed for Northern Bank that particular week. So wisely, Rachel and Lindsay both pursued the role of accountancy, and I sadly took up the job in the bank, and that's what I did. But that's how things end up. But so 24 years later, I was still in the bank. So that was that. But it was a lovely meeting, and we enjoyed that. And I got to know Lindsay then over those ensuing years. We both had a great interest in missionary work. Always. Our ears always pricked up whenever they heard there was going to be a missionary meeting or a missionary rally somewhere. We always made sure we went to that. So we went to the missionary rally in Easter Convention in 1985. It was held on a Saturday night at that stage. And it was always a very blessed meeting. It was always packed to the house. And I can remember Rod Bell preaching from 1 Thessalonians about God, which trieth our hearts. I can remember that particular week. I'd been in work. I'd had a hard week at work with witnessing to people and finding it quite difficult. And I just felt that there needed to be something more in life than just going through the mundane things in life. There had to be something else. There was something missing in my life. And certainly the thing that was missing in my life was really dedicating my life fully to the Lord and to His service, letting Him take full control of the situation. Unbeknown to me, Lindsay had similar thoughts as well. So in 1995, it was the standard practice then that Dr. Paisley would have made an appeal for young people to come down and to lay their lives in the altar, not in salvation, but in dedication to the Lord's work. And it was always a great and encouraging thing to do. To take that step, to stand up on your feet and to walk to the front took a lot of courage. And it felt like you were making a commitment to something. And I can remember there was a lot of people went down that night, but much to my surprise, Lindsay was right beside me whenever I lifted my head, and that was a great blessing. And we took that as a great token for good for our relationship, that the Lord is leading us and guiding us. Maybe not into full-time service, but to be willing to go into full-time service was so important for us to take that step. So together, before we got married, we decided it would be a good idea if we went to the mission field and maybe got a taste of what the mission field was like in case the Lord ever led us in that particular direction. So we took a new tribes missionary trip to Senegal in the year 2000 with a group of Americans. We're the only two people from Europe there. So we travelled to Senegal together and spent that, it was about 14 days or so in Senegal, going around different mission, different tribes and meeting different missionaries. And it was a real eye-opener for us both and a real blessing to go along to that. And it just renewed our zeal and our desire to serve the Lord. Even at home or abroad, we knew if the Lord was going to lead us anywhere, that we'd be able to go there together. So that put a good seal upon our future together. It was a whirlwind romance, as I indicated before. We met in 1993 and we got married a short decade later in 2002. I don't like to rush into things. I wanted to make sure Lindsay was a fully qualified accountant before I made that step. She needed to be able to keep me to the manner to which I'd become accustomed. So it was a great blessing to be married in 2002. At that stage, house prices were through the roof. And as much as we'd like to have maybe lived in Belfast, I would love to have attended Sandown, but the prices were far too high for us. So we ended up in Donnacloney, of all places. I was from East Belfast, and going to Donnacloney, I couldn't spell Donnacloney, never mind know where it was or anything about it. And I'd never seen so much green before. It was remarkable. But Donnacloney was a beautiful place to live. We really enjoyed our time there. And we were very happy in our wee house in Donnacloney. But we weren't sure what church to go to. We tried several local congregations, but we just couldn't settle. And we struggled with it for a few weeks and tried different places. But one Sunday morning in July 2002, we decided we would come here. We knew the Reverend Martin very well, and we thought, well, come along, and sure, we'll have a chat with Tom, and we'll see, sure, what Lisburn's like. Well, he wasn't here that in July. He takes the month of July off, so he wasn't there, but Stephen Shanks was here. We knew Stephen from the Flame Youth Rally and from many other events in our lives, and Stephen made us very welcome, but there must have been about a dozen people came over and said hello to us that morning. We hadn't even got out of our seat, and people were over saying hello. And that was a tremendous experience. We were made so warmly welcome here in Lisburn. And that welcome we received that morning, that's always stayed with me about this church. And I can see it when other people come into the congregation, how welcome they're made here. And that's a ministry. That is a tremendous ministry. It really is. If people aren't made welcome in a place, they don't stay. And that's the truth. If you walk into a shop and nobody looks near you, you'll be out of that shop again and you'll not look back. But if you walk into the house of God and you don't get a warm welcome at a door or from people in the congregation, you'll not stay. I believe we're here tonight in many ways because the people in this congregation have taken that as a ministry to welcome people in this church and make them very welcome. And we certainly felt like that. So it didn't take us long to decide this is where we were going to put down our roots. And we got involved in the ministry here and we really, really enjoyed it. We were still very young at that stage. So we went along to senior youth and we really enjoyed that for a few years. That was a real blessing and a real encouragement. And then we joined the door-to-door outreach work because Lindsay had done a wee bit of that in Lurgan and I had enjoyed it in Sandown. So Noel Thompson made us very welcome there and we really enjoyed the door-to-door work. And that was really good. And then not long had passed, I think it might have been 2005, our brother Donnie approached us and asked us to get involved in the Sunday school. And that was a real blessing and encouragement. I'd loved Sunday school work and really missed it. So I was really glad to get involved in that. I took the fifth form class. I sat about there for many years, teaching the fifth form class, which was really good. And really enjoyed that. Lindsay looked after the junior Sunday school for a long time. But whenever a young man has stepped down from the Sunday school, he had asked me if I would take that on. So that was almost 4 years ago. I know Donnie stepped down mainly to pursue a career as a professional golfer, which came to fruition yesterday for him. So it's taken him a few years, but he's finally pursued that life ambition. I was really glad to take over the work of the Sunday school. I knew that Donnie had many years left in him, and many still to come. But it was a great blessing to take on the work of the Sunday school. And I've really enjoyed that. It has been such a blessing to get involved there and to see that work grow and to continue to flourish. Lindsay and I sadly don't have any children as much as we would like to have, but we're thankful for the 50 plus children the Lord lends us on a Sunday morning. What a blessing it is to get up on a Sunday morning and know that there's children there who need our prayers, who need guidance, who need to be taught about their need of salvation, and there's parents there willing to lend their children to us for that hour and to be able to teach them the word of salvation. I want to thank you for sending your children to the Sunday school. It's a real blessing. Sunday afternoons at this time of year are fantastic. You come along and the children are full of energy. I don't know what the parents feed them at lunchtime, but they're coming here for the practices and they're absolutely nuts. And they're singing. We really should have Children's Day in the afternoon because the children really are fully awake and they keep you very entertained. So it is a real blessing to get involved in the Sunday school. The teachers are so dedicated. They make the work so easy. Really, really they do. And they have such a heart for the children. I was elected onto the committee in 2009 and served as treasurer by virtue of working for the bank as opposed to having any real ability. I think they looked around the table and thought, well, there's your man. He works for the bank. He must know a thing or two. I don't, but I have a wife who's an accountant and that really made the big difference. So that's where the real ability comes from. I had a couple of periods of prolonged sickness in my life in 2009 and 2015. I was very, very ill, and I'll not go into a lot of detail about that, but I was very sick. And the God's people here in Lisburn and many other places were very faithful in prayer and in visitation and in sending cards and just wishing me very, very well. God really undertook, and I was in the need of prayer. And the Lord really did bless. There is a real ministry in encouraging the sick as well, and this church does do that. It's a very challenging time to be ill. If you haven't had a period of long-term sickness yourself, you don't really know what people enter into. You would have got people saying to you, well, sure, isn't it great? You have all this time at home, and sure, you can read your Bible and pray and get caught up on all those things. It's not like that at all. It's not like that. It's very, very difficult. Whenever you're sick and you're in the same room looking at the same four walls, you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading your Bible. You really miss the fellowship of coming out to church. You miss getting to the morning and evening services. The media work is tremendous. It really is. But it's no substitute for being in the house of God and for being with God's people. So do pray for the sake of our congregation, people who perhaps are listening in tonight, who don't get out to the house of God, they really do miss out and they really do need our prayers and our support. Election to the eldership a few weeks ago came as a shock. I do confess to feeling extremely ill whenever my name was read out. I wasn't expecting it, and I'm certainly not ready for it by any means, but certainly over the past few weeks I've felt the Lord's guiding hand, and the Lord has, as He's been with me every day of my life from I was saved, I've certainly felt the Lord's hand in recent days. It's been a bit of a roller coaster for me, and I certainly appreciate it, and I appreciate the trust you've put in me, and I'll do my very best to fulfil that trust, but I'm not sufficient of myself for this work, and nobody in the session or the committee is sufficient for the work of God. I couldn't lift a hand for the Lord of my own strength. And if you're thinking that Christians have got it made, that believers really have got all the answers, they don't. Christian life is a difficult life. It's not an easy life. But the Lord does bless and undertake, and not one believer would say they could do anything of themselves. It's all of the Lord. So I would encourage you to pray for our session and committee. Really do pray for wisdom and for guidance, and I do pray for me as well as I would seek to understand this. To the children's workers of this congregation, I want to encourage you to keep on serving the Lord just where you are and just what you're doing. I was saved through children's work, and I trust that you continue to pursue what you're doing, because someday you'll see young people or children that you've taught given their testimonies, and that comes as a great blessing to your own heart and your own soul. To see somebody who you have taught in Sunday school, or somebody who you sat beside in a children's meeting, or somebody you took the effort to get them out to the house of God, to hear them testify, to see them grow in grace and in knowledge, is a great blessing. So I'd encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, and don't hold back. The Lord will really bless. For those who are unsaved here tonight, well, there's no great stories of sin in my life. There's no great difficulty. You'd maybe ask yourself, why would a fellow like that need to get saved? He seems like a decent enough fellow. Why would he need salvation? There's many decent people in hell tonight, friends. There's many a fine, upstanding citizen who is in hell this evening, and who's not saved, and who's not washed in the blood of the Christ. I'm as guilty as the murderer. I'm as guilty as the drug user. I'm as guilty as the drunkard before God. I needed His salvation just the same as any other individual. I needed to be saved. God's Word tells us that all our righteousness are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64 verse 6. And Romans 3 verse 10 tells us, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one of us has any righteousness of ourselves. If you're trusting in your attendance here tonight to get you to heaven, you are sadly mistaken. Coming to this church will never save your soul. Coming to this church will make no difference in your life. You'll hear a message here that will change your life, but attending this church and being a member of this church will not save your soul. Are you going to stand before God someday with a filthy bag of rags and say, I'd like to get in? Could you imagine trying to get into Buckingham Palace and the guards asking you, where's your invitation? And you pull out a dirty hanky and say, this is my invitation here. That's what you're doing if you're trying to trust in your own righteousness before God. That's what you're offering God in exchange for a place in heaven. How many times have you heard that you needed to be saved? How many times have you heard about your need of salvation here or in many other places? How many gospel messages have you heard and rejected? How many times have you decided, that's not for me, sure, I've got plenty of time? What will it take for you to realise that God is real and it's not a fairy story? I heard a man on the radio there recently and it really struck me. He was an atheist and he said, I would rather believe in Santa Claus than believe there's a God in heaven. I felt very sad for that individual. I prayed immediately that man would see the error of his ways, for that is a shocking thing to consider. But there's many a person who would honour Halloween and Santa, but they wouldn't think about that there's a God in heaven. The Bible never promises a tomorrow in terms of salvation. There is no tomorrow in terms of salvation. There isn't an opportunity tomorrow. There might be, but it's not guaranteed. Let me read 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 to you. For he saith, I heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's now. The Bible talks about now in terms of salvation. It doesn't give you an opportunity to think about it. it tells you now is the day of salvation. There's a time limit, a time accepted, and that day, one day will pass, and you can't always get saved. You can't always get saved. Someday it might be too late, and you may have rejected the offer of salvation for the last time. I would encourage you to trust Christ tonight. Depend upon his free offer of salvation. It's a free gift. It cannot be bought. It can't be earned. It can only be accepted. Don't put off coming to Christ for a cleansing in the blood of the Lamb and assurance of a home in heaven. I would encourage you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You'll never regret that decision. Thank you.
I have to thank our brother Daniel very much indeed for that clear word of testimony. We do say that it's very refreshing to hear of an individual who hasn't come with a life of sin or crime. Some people feel they don't have a testimony except they've been drinking, they've been into drugs taking, they've been involved in paramilitaries, they've lived wantonly and radically in this world. They've got into all sorts of sin and bother. And some feel, well, that's the testimony that you bring to a meeting like this. But it's so refreshing to see the balance that here's Daniel, brought up in a good home, a Christian home, taught the gospel from his earliest days, brought along to a faithful gospel preaching church, and has had people preach to him, witness to him, pray for him, and has had all of those privileges. And yet, being brought up in a Christian home, being brought along to a good Bible-believing, Christ-centered church, wasn't enough. There was something lacking. There was something missing. And that was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. To see, as he said in his testimony, himself a sinner, lost and undone. And then to realize the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for his sins. Christ suffered for him. Christ took his place. Christ offered one great sacrifice to put away divine wrath and satisfy divine justice and save the soul of Daniel Hamilton. Wonderful thing. And to realize in his own experience his need of a Savior, and then to come as a young person and trust Christ and receive him, and then go on through life. There were ups and downs, as we heard. There were times of coldness, and the Lord restored again, brought him into fellowship. God ordered his affairs and his employment. He read the verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, leaning not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. And the Lord has been doing that, and he still is doing it in his life. Then he was able to meet his wife-to-be. That was providential. And then he was able then to move to certain areas and settle down in a congregation. Little did Daniel know in those younger days, and as he was maturing, that he would ever be an elder within the Free Presbyterian Church, superintendent of the Sunday school, having been asked one time after a prayer meeting, would you take Sunday school? So how good the Lord is. He watches over his children. He has a wonderful plan for your life and mine. And it begins whenever you come as a sinner to Christ. Tell me, are you saved? Has there been a time in your experience tonight when you repented truly of all your sin and you received Christ as your Savior? You trusted him to forgive all your sins, to give you peace with God. Are you resting on his finished work? Are you looking for shelter and a hiding place underneath his precious blood? Are you saved tonight? If not, will you not come in repentance and faith and trust Christ as your Savior? Receive him now. He's waiting. He's willing. He's ready to save you. And all you've got to do is come. Just like Daniel. That time in his experience when he came to Christ personally. Wasn't enough that grandparents or parents or any other family member or friend was saved by the grace of God. He had to come personally. He had to come to Christ himself. And so do you. You have to come to Christ. It doesn't matter whether your wife's saved, your husband's saved, your mum or dad are saved, your brother, sister, your children are saved. It doesn't matter. You have to be saved. You have to come. And you have to come now. And I trust the Lord will give deciding grace and bring your soul savingly to Christ.